Hello there, lollygaggers. Another week on tap. Lollygagging Sports. I am Bo Reed along with Samantha Button and Matthew Irby. Samantha, I've got some really... I'm excited about this. And I don't know how you guys are going to be on this one. But this is really exciting and frankly, a little shocking after what happened with this team last year. But my alma mater, the Sam Houston State Bearcats, who were embarrassed in their first go-round in FBS football, is now bowl eligible in year two. How about that?
That's good for them. I hope that you get to be in a bowl so that you can experience that for the first time.
It would be a first, at least for my alma mater.
You pronounced it.
Bearcats.
Okay, very German. Yeah. Very German.
Well, however you want to pronounce the mascot name, they are bowl eligible. Although it would be really hilarious if nobody picked them up. Right? Like, well, they're just bowl eligible, right? Like,
I think you're fine. Like there's so many stupid bowls now that everybody gets in. Like, I think They create bowls just to make sure everybody gets
Everyone
in.
Everyone gets a bowl.
And see, and the thing is like, I've got to get a t-shirt. It's their first go. It's their first FBS bowl game. So I had to get a t-shirt. So I'm really hoping it's not one of those really lame ones. Like, really, truly. I'm not talking about, like you know, the lower quality bowls. I'm talking about the lame name. Like, don't give me some of those weird named bowls.
No Belk bowl for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want it to be, like, you're talking about bad branding.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to be in the Crocs bowl.
No, God, if that exists, I'm gonna like personally go to wherever this game is held and protest. Like,
pre-show conversation for you guys. The official position of this podcast is that Crocs are not shoes. Also hope they're not bowl sponsors. But I'm gonna hope for that for you for your first bowl that it is not sponsored by Crocs.
I'm gonna have to have a party. You know, toss some stuff on the smoker. Have some people over. Irby, you could drive down now. I'm not in Florida anymore. You could just make a quick trip down south. If you want to be a part of it.
If you're cooking, I will come. Absolutely.
No, I will definitely be cooking. That's for sure.
The only problem will be is, what if you get elected into the Bahamas Bowl? Will you be making the trip?
Well, I mean, I am going to Florida next week. So I could, you know, check the lay of the land. I mean, the Bahamas are like right there off the coast of Florida.
Yeah.
You know, there's actually little like day cruises you could take from West Palm. It's almost like a booze cruise, but it goes to the Bahamas.
That's terrible.
I never actually took part in one, but you know, that's how close the Bahamas are. So anyway, all right, everybody's fired up. Everybody's ready to go. So let's get into it. Samantha, you want to fire us off with a little rapid fire?
You ready for NFL rapid fire?
I'm never ready.
And the first thing that comes to their mind, they don't get to explain themselves. They will have the option at the end to come back and explain one of their answers. Some of these things do have correct answers. Some of them do not. So let's just get right into it. Okay. Do you guys think Kevin Stefanski has thought about faking his own death?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, it's really the only option left, right? On a related note, is it ever okay to cheer an injury?
No.
I might disagree with you guys on that. In this very specific circumstance, I very rarely, there are like three people alive who you're allowed to cheer an injury for, and one of them just got hurt. So, sorry to the Deshaun Watson defenders, but I feel okay about people cheering that injury. So, has New England found their quarterback in Drake May?
Don't know. Too soon.
No. I'm going to go with no.
No? Because this is another Mac Jones? I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic. Who's the team to beat in the AFC? We're in week 8 now.
you know, even with their defensive problems, like that Ravens team, when they get going, I'm going to go Ravens.
That's a good one. I mean, I know I have to speak one team's name, but I'm not going to do that. So I'm, I'm going to do the same as Bo. Yeah, the Ravens. I really like that team. The wide, I like what they've shown. Look, that's it. That's all I'm saying. Sorry, not supposed to say more.
I'm sorry. I'm pretty sure it's the Chiefs until they show otherwise. I know nobody likes that. But the Ravens aren't a great option either, so here we are. How about the NFC?
Oh, Lions. Even with that big injury on the line, Lions all the way.
RB?
I want to say football team, but I just can't do it. Really want to do it. I'm going to say football team. Screw it. Screw it. Football team.
I like it. I respect it. That is an acceptable answer. I had the Lions as well, but hey, maybe. Maybe it'll be football team. Now that they're football team again. Here's hoping. Okay. If you had to let one NFL team into Major League Baseball, who would it be? Who would be the least upsetting team to allow into our beloved sport from the NFL? Notorious problem child of sports. Who are you letting in?
Wow. New Orleans.
I'm going to need you to explain that later. Okay.
Sure.
Irby?
Man, that is a really good question.
It's a very good question. I had to think for a second.
I was not ready for that. The Colts.
That's not a bad answer, actually. I don't know. I picked the Lions. They just seem least likely to, offend the but the Colts. And then we got blue. Blue would be in baseball.
It's blue. It's blue would get to be out there, for the mascot game. It's a good choice.
Yeah. Mascot and general non-offensiveness.
I wanted to say Carolina so that the White Sox would win a series, but I just couldn't.
Oh, well, speaking of the Panthers, next question. Are the Panthers historically bad, or are they just regular bad?
They're just regular bad.
Irby?
So what do you mean by historically bad?
Don't overthink it. Just answer the question.
Historically horrible. Historically bad. Yeah, historically bad. That's what we go with.
Interesting. Okay, Bo, I'm with you. I think they're just regular bad. But that question did not have a right answer. I'm going to go with regular bad as well. Okay. So Aaron Rodgers said, quote, "The Jets played too angry and need to have fun." Did you want to hit him after he said this?
Yes.
Irby?
I do now. I didn't know he said that, but yes.
Yeah. I mean, I pretty much want to hit him all the time, but I wanted to hit him an extra time for that. All right. This is specifically for you, Irby, but Bo, you should weigh in as well. Does San Francisco need a witch doctor?
Hey, multiple.
Multiple witch doctors, plural. So.
I think you start with a live rooster. And if that doesn't work, go straight to the coven.
Yeah. Yeah, coven and a witch doctor. Several covens, several witch doctors. I realize there's no chance these people can work together amicably, but we may try. Okay, last thought. I was thinking about this as we did a baseball segment on this over the summer. And we could expand this into a full segment on the NFL if you guys want to at some point in time in the future. But which NFL team would you buy? The only rules, it's the same rules as we did for baseball. You can't buy your own team, and you can't buy a team you hate just to run it into the ground.
Which NFL team would I buy? The Titans.
Titans. Okay. Irby?
The Broncos.
Broncos. I will buy the 49ers.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
You're welcome. You can come visit anytime.
You've got your own witch doctors too, don't you? So this works out great.
I do. I do. I am a witch. I'm a spiral witch as well. Enter. Clearly my skills do work as the guardians did not survive. ALCS. More on that later. But, all right. So you have an opportunity to go back and explain something. Bo, I would like you to explain why you wanted to allow the Saints into Major League Baseball. But since I'm asking you to do this, you could also explain something else if you felt the need to. But I do need clarification on that because I'm curious. He's speechless.
No, I'm not speechless. I was on mute. I'm thinking geographically down the road when baseball does its realignment that New Orleans would be a good place to have a team. It's purely geographical.
We were thinking of this. Sorry. Perhaps I should have been clearer when I asked the question about who was the least likely to like offend the sensibilities of baseball with their terrible NFLness. I guess the Saints would probably not do anything like that, though. They're not a terribly offensive team, so it probably still works okay. All right, well, Irby, what do you got?
I'll do the same, explaining the Colts. Yes, it's for their mascot game. That's a big part of this as well. But when it comes to the event, like, nobody, you don't really dislike the Colts. Like, there's just, they're not necessarily, like, lovable all the time, but there's just, like, they're fun to be around. And I don't know, Quentin Nelson in a baseball uniform, what could go wrong?
I like it. All right. I don't really have any desire to explain any of these. Maybe I'll go to the first two. Say, you don't know. I think it might be blacking on the Browns again. They're such a mess that it might be fun. Like, they're such a mess. And the bad man is gone now. So, I don't know. Might be backing on the Browns. I'm still free of the NFL from a rooting interest perspective. I don't really care. But I could become interested again, at least in the goings-on of the Browns after this. But anyway, Bo and I have been freed from the NFL. If you're new around here, we've freed ourselves of rooting interest in the NFL.
You know what's interesting? Really good for you. You know what's interesting about that is, like, it took a boogeyman to get us both out.
I know.
That's what's crazy about this. Like, it took a boogeyman to give us our freedom.
Well, and sometimes you have to go through that sort of hardship, and just then you're just like, you know what, this really isn't worth it. Like, it's like, I have survived this. You know, we're like Final Girls. In a way, we lived through it, and then we were just like, you know what? No thanks. So perhaps Irby will join us someday. Perhaps he will get boogeyman. I don't know if it would be better to wish that on you or better to allow you to continue as you are. I don't know.
I feel like
you're moving towards freeing yourself, though.
Yeah. It's the thing. It's like, you know, it's like with small children. You can't really explain something to them. You have to let them, you know, stub their toe or burn their hand a little bit so then they learn it on their own. I'm getting there, and knowing that, you know, like right now, my 49ers, the healthiest person on the healthiest wide receiver is a guy that was shot 2 months ago. That's getting me there pretty quick.
Oh. Well, we respect your journey. So you just let us know when you're ready, to fully break free. All right. So we teased this last week. We had the celebrity death match of athletes. And we said we would do celebrity death match with mascots. Be a lollygagging podcast without a mascot segment. So I have built for you a 16-team playoff bracket style of 16 mascots. These are all lollygagging favorites. And by favorites, I don't always mean something we like. I just mean something that is frequently discussed on this podcast. So some of them are ones that we like, and some of them are ones we do not like at all. But we talk about them a lot. I did not seed these. I just put all 16 of them in, and then I used a randomizer. Nice. So the matchups are random. Okay.
Can we do that with a college football playoff?
Like the BCS. Yeah, it was like the BCS.
Yeah, no, there you go. I am like the BCS. that's me. Okay, so me/the BCS. First matchup. Are you ready? Round one.
Round one.
Sir Big Spur versus Slider. Who wins?
Wow, right out of the gate with a tough one. I'm going Sir Big Sir.
Irby?
Second that.
All right, that's all. Three votes for Sir Big Spur. By the way, majority rules here for who moves on. So Sir Big Spur is going to move on because I think he's just going to poke Slider with one of his spurs and deflate him.
Mm-hmm,
Okay, next matchup, Ralphie versus Stomper.
Oh, Stomper.
Arby?
Is Ralphie by himself, or does he have his handlers running with him?
He's by himself.
Stomper.
Okay. Also, pick Stomper to move on. All right, Blue versus the Stanford Tree.
Ooh, see, I'm going to have to go with Blue. Like, Stanford Tree could take a punch, but that mobility is, like, non-existent. So, yeah, going Blue.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, Blue. The tree's just going to stand there and take hits, but then the tree's just going to stand there. Blue.
All right, well, I'll pick Blue, which I think I just picked because I want Blue to win. I don't know that I was thinking you should chop down the tree, but I don't know if Blue has the, like, dexterity to do that. But, all right, Blue wins. All right, the Rally Monkey versus Mr. Matt.
Oh, Rally Monkey. Way too nimble. Mr. Met wouldn't know what hit him. Now, Mrs. Met, that'd be a different story.
Irby?
Yes, I'm going with the Rally Monkey as well, just because later on in life, you know, he got Ebola.
Yeah.
I feel like the Rally Monkey would just, like, tear Mr. Met's head off. Like, monkeys are crazy, man. They're vicious. Like,
yeah.
I would not want to tangle with that Rally Monkey. And like you said, Irby, it has Ebola now. So,
not to mention the notorious distraction techniques that monkeys have.
Have you seen those videos of the ones carrying giant knives?
No, but I want to.
It's very concerning. Very concerning. Like, if the robots don't kill us, the monkeys will kill us. Something to, you know, haunt your dreams. But, all right, so the Rally Monkey moves on. These have all been anonymous so far. All right, next round, Bevo versus the Philly Fanatic.
Oh, Bevo. As much as I love the Philly Fanatic, there ain't no way he can contain that.
Yeah. Irby?
That would be funny to see the Philly Fanatic do his bit and everything, and then finally Bevo has enough of it, and yeah, he's bored.
It's too big of a target. He's just going to skewer him right through the middle, right? All right. Well, maybe these will get harder when we get into the next round. All right. Dinger versus the Nittany Lion.
Oh. You know, I'm going to go with the Nittany Lion. Dinger gets some smacks in, but that Nittany Lion is going to be way too spry and fast.
Irby?
Yes, it is spry and fast, but at the end of the day, it's a dinosaur. Dinger.
I think it's the Nittany Lion. I hate to do this. I think it's the Nittany Lion, too, as much as I hate this, because you guys know I love Dinger more than anything in life. I'm pretty sure the lion would just eat him. So...
It's all right. We had to have an up. You had to have one of these. Sorry, Dinger. It's seeding. It's seeding. Nothing we can do.
All right. Well, I don't think this one will be too difficult for you. Captain versus the Oakland Feral Cats.
You're talking about the Rangers, Captain?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. The Cats. Please, God. Can we actually have this live? I would pay to see this.
I wouldn't pay to see the Feral Cats fight any of this stuff.
Yeah, but Irby, I would pay premium for this. Like, I'm talking like, you know, ringside.
It's because you want to kill Captain.
Exactly. Is that so bad? I don't think so.
No. No, I support you in this endeavor. Irby? Maybe no, you could have the cats. Oh, I just thought of this. If you killed off Captain, the cats don't have a team anymore. You could adopt the Feral Cats.
See, there you go. Upgrade.
You know what, and this is even more so since Captain felt the need, because, like, the Dodgers and the Yankees don't have a mascot, so Captain felt the need to tweet out a couple days ago, I'm still the reigning world champ. Yeah, get him, Cats.
Did he actually do that? Are you serious?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Right. No, we're not. Kill it. Kill it.
We are no longer playing baseball this year. We are no longer the reigning champions. Stop it. Wow.
All right. Last one. Ramsey's versus Tusk the fourth, actually, specifically.
You know what? I'm going Tusk the fourth.
Irby?
I'm the same, Tusk.
Yeah, I think Tusk will be hard to beat. Note that I did not include Uga, whatever you want to call him, but even though we love him, because that felt mean. Like, yeah. I don't think there's a single thing on here that Uga could beat, so we left him out. All right, next round, Sir Big Spur versus Stomper.
Stomper.
Irby?
Yeah, I think we all can cartoon see how this one ends. Stomper.
Yep.
All right. I want to go stir big spur, but all right. Stomper moves on to the final four. All right, Blue versus the Rally Monkey.
Rally Monkey.
Irby?
Blue.
Ooh. See, I want to pick Blue, but I don't think there's, I don't know, a Rally Monkey. I have an inkling of what kind of finale we're heading towards, and it's going to be very ugly. Okay. Bevo versus the Nittany Lion.
Okay, this is where Bevo meets his match, because like the lions hunt those things for real. So,
true.
No, I'm going Nittany Lion.
Nittany Lion. Okay. RB?
That makes logical sense, Bo, but I got to go Bevo. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry.
Hey, I went Homer against the captain, so I get it.
I know.
I feel like the lion, it's too fast.
Yep.
I think it would be hard to skewer the lion. So, yeah, I'm going to go Nittany Lion as well.
Okay. I don't know if Bevo has ever actually turned around.
Ever. Like, couldn't you just see it, right? Couldn't you just see it? Like Bevo charges, the Nittany Lion runs up just a few rows into the stands, and then it's got the high ground. You could just leap on Bevo's back, and then Bevo's done.
Yeah, I feel like Bevo's just not agile enough for this. All right, Feral Cats versus Tusk. The
fourth. Oh, I want the Feral Cats in the final four. Feral Cats.
They
just lost their team.
I hear that. Now I'm Tusk there. Like, it's just because he's got the size. He's down on their level.
I am also going with the Feral Cats because there's simply too many of them. They're just going to swarm them. All right. Final four. Stomper versus the Rally Monkey.
Ooh, okay, I really want to see that, first of all, because that's awesome. Ooh, I'm going Stomper.
Irby?
Stomper.
I disagree, I think Rally Monkey, but okay, Stomper moves on to the finale. All right, Nittany Lion versus the Feral Cat.
That is epic. Yes. Wow. Okay, so because there's more of them, I'm going Feral Cat.
Are
we? Since the lion is an actual cat, the Feral Cats finally have some true leadership to follow, so they will submit, and it's the Nittany Lion.
Wow.
Interesting. I also went with the Feral Cats. I feel like they will just swarm. I feel like they will swarm. All right, so the championship rounds. Stomper versus the Feral Cats.
You know, all Stomper has to do is put his massive feet on a couple of them and they're done. So I'm going to go to Stomper.
Irby?
I love that this is the same thing here. Look, it's the Rally Monkey. Stomper defeated the Rally Monkey. Ever since the Rally Monkey finally got lost, you know, the Angels haven't done a thing since. So sorry, Stomper. Since you beat him, you can't do anything more. Feral Cats.
Wow.
Yeah, I went with the Feral Cats as well. Like, I just think numbers matter. I love that our mascot bracket was run by something that's not actually a mascot, by the way. So your 2024 Mascot Battle Royale champions, the Oakland Coliseum, Feral Cats, which are not actually a mascot of anything, don't have a home anymore, and don't have a team. All right. That is very lollygagging. I love it. All right. Yep. Last thing. I don't have a ton to say about this. There is a point in life when I would have written, like, reams and reams and reams reflecting on the Guardians season. And I had a lot of trouble figuring out what to say this time around. This one was bad. It's probably the worst one for me since 97. A lot of people, I think, feel that way about 2016, which I had a really different reaction to than a lot of fans. I was totally okay with that one. But this one hurt. It hurts. And I think the reason it hurt so much is because of the way this team was and the way that they behaved. It didn't really have anything to do with what were your chances or how good was the team or did you expect to get to the World Series or any of that? Because I think most of us would have said, no, we weren't necessarily expecting to get to the World Series, although it's hard to see it that way when you get that close. And I also think it's harder. There's obviously you want to perform respectably, and you want to be in every game, but it also does make it harder when you lose, when you go back and look at it and say, wow, they were in every game. If only they'd just done a little more. Like, it's almost less painful if you just get trounced. And that's not what happened here. So anyway, I'm really proud of these guys. I'm proud of our fans for sticking it out through this and for really showing up for the team this year. I think the team has a bright future ahead of it. I don't necessarily think they're going to regress, even though I'm sure the projection models will say they will finish third and win 70 games or something like that. So, you know, prepare yourselves for that. But anyway, Guardians postmortem, not a lot to say here, except I think it was a hell of a season. They exceeded almost everyone's expectations. I think that's fantastic. I loved watching this team. It was an absolute joy. It broke my heart that they didn't get an opportunity to at least get to the World Series, but wonderful season, totally worth it. And if there's a lesson to take away here, I think it's that starting pitching matters and that you can have the best bullpen in the world, which they did. And if you don't have enough starting pitching and if your offense isn't strong enough, ultimately you're going to run into a wall eventually.
I really, honestly, I've got nothing to add to that. And I'm not going to ask any questions because I'm not going to, you know, make that pain either extend longer or feel worse. So I've got really nothing to add. Here, Irby, how about you?
Oh, yeah, no, it's fine, but I appreciate the kind intent behind that.
No, I mean, look, I think you said everything there. Like, honestly, like I really, there's nothing more that needs to be said about these Guardians. In my opinion, Irby may have something.
Irby, any thoughts?
Irby always has something. Look, it was, I think you said it well. It was a great season. It was a fantastic season. The tough thing about this sport, the tough thing about all sports like this, only one team raises the banner at the end. Only one team does that. Does that mean that the other, in baseball's case, 29 teams had failed seasons? No. Some of them, absolutely. Some of them had horrible years. Some of them had terrible years. But the Guardians are not one of them. And it's the same at the other side of the bracket, the Mets as well. These are two teams that did not have bad seasons. They had great seasons. Did it end the way that you wanted? No. Were you close? Yes. When you're in every game, I love what you said about how painful it is. When you're in every game, yeah, it sucks because you sit back and you're like, my gosh, we'd have just done this one thing or this two thing. You know, and it's almost now as you were like, I wish it had just gotten blown out every game. Then we could sit here and go, see, this sucks. Whatever, move on. But it is painful, and it's still fresh, I know, but it's a good pain because it reminds you how much you care about a team.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it. And I also, you know, I love what you said. I briefly alluded to this on Twitter as well, that, you know, I really hate, if there's one thing I hate about sports fandom, who am I kidding? There's a million things I hate about sports fandom. But one of the things I hate the most is people acting like the team is an abject failure because they didn't win the championship. Like, 26 teams didn't get as far as you did. I mean, no matter what the expectations were, that is a successful season. I hate the World Series or bust, Super Bowl or bust, whatever attitude. I just think it's a miserable way to watch sports. You really destroyed your odds of actually enjoying it because your chances of actually having that happen for your team are so, so bad. So I hate that as an approach to rooting. So I'm glad you pointed that out too, because I think that's important to say too, is like, hey, you know, they went where 26 other teams failed to go and they acquitted themselves well there. So proud of you, Guardians. Love you guys. Can't wait for next year.
All right. Anything else on this before we get over to Irby?
Nope.
No? All right, Herbs, you're up.
All right. Well, let's keep with the baseball. There is another series yet to come. It's not necessarily the one any of us wanted, definitely.
No.
Some could argue the way the season kind of went this was probably the odds-on favorite to happen or anything. You know, it's we've already heard the bull of it already about, oh, are they buying a championship? Like, no, this is what you do. This is why there's no salary cap. You put your money in a good place. You get yourself in a situation to be here. The Dodgers and the Yankees have done that. They put themselves in a situation where now they are 4 wins away from being world champions. And so there's not much we really want to break down on what has happened up until now. I think we've all been watching these games. We've all seen what they're doing. There's nothing too special about their formula or anything of how the Dodgers and the Yankees win and how they've moved forward in the postseason so far is exactly what we thought they would do. So mine that I would do a little bit more if I want to set this up is to talk with you guys kind of about some of the things that we might be seeing coming up or anything. So the first one, be a little different, kind of a mini rapid fire here right now that I'm going to just get from the two of y'all. Just want to get your thoughts on. I'm going to give you two players, and you're going to pick which one right now, the way they're playing right now, which of these two players would you prefer to have at this moment right now going into this World Series? So start off with the obvious one, Ohtani or Judge.
I knew that was going to be first.
See, I mean, come on. Duh.
I'm taking Ohtani.
I'll take Judge.
Okay. All right. Hey, next one lined up there. Betts or Soto?
Soto.
I hate doing this, but Soto. I have nothing against Juan Soto. I just love Mookie, and I don't want all these
games. I agree.
Yeah. Well, then if you hated that one, you're going to hate this one. Roberts or Boone?
Oh, God, Boone.
Boone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, this is gross. Oh, this is vile and gross. I thought this would be fun. It's not so horrible. Not
what you want. Well, if there's one more, and it kind of leads. I'll do this last one, and it leads into the next one here. Freeman or Rizzo?
Wow, they're both hurt. That's interesting. I like what you did here. I'm going to take Freeman.
Well, they're both worthless on the field, essentially. So I'm going to take Freeman so I don't have to hear the announcers be like, Anthony Rizzo, what a journey, man, with those broken fingers. He's so courageous. You think he had no arms and no legs and no head. His torso was out there crawling around the baseball field. Oh,
yeah.
Gross. I will take Freddie Freeman. I would take the worst player on the Dodgers.
Plus, you can hit home runs all day long with a bum ankle and take your time going around the diamond. You mess with the fingers. Also, come on.
Also, he's just the worst. He's just the worst. He's a deeply unlikable human. Like, he's just the worst. And Freddie Freeman's fine. He has a cute child. I pick Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, big Freddie Freeman fan. But I'm picking it because I'll take an ankle over two broken fingers any day. But Freeman's also an outstanding person, so makes it easier.
Yeah. Like, can be the better guy and the one who has a fighting chance of making it around the bases. Yeah, easy pick. Okay, good. Sorry, we just deliberately completely ignored the rules of rapid
fire. No. Because this is what it was going to lead into. The question about Freeman and Rizzo and where they're at right now, we've seen both teams go with. I mean, the Yankees have gone with two different guys at first base at times. The Dodgers are doing more Muncy as well. Both managers, both teams realize the injuries, the concerns, and all that. So, which team plays their star? I'm doing air quotes here, Freeman or Rizzo, too much that it actually cost them the World Series.
Well, unfortunately,
Or is it neither?
Unfortunately, Dave Roberts has that written all over him.
Listen, I don't think it matters because, like, Anthony Rizzo isn't good. I don't know how we got to this weird place where he got hurt and now suddenly he's not, guys. Like, no, Freddie Freeman's a way better player. I will take half of Freddie Freeman out there over all of Anthony Rizzo, and apparently we're getting half of both, so that's not a hard pick. Like, Anthony Rizzo is nothing for me in any capacity. No.
Yeah, he gets thrown out on the base path, and it's like, "What? You're not even fast. What are you doing?"
He's just not that good of a player. You understand what I mean? It's like if he'd gone anywhere other than to the Yankees, he would be forgotten by now. He's not that good. So I don't like his name being in the same sentence with Freddie Freeman. It's upsetting me.
It's not all right.
But, yeah, well, you know, it is upsetting that it exists in the universe. I don't like it.
Right? All right. So when we did through the rapid fire, two names that I did not throw out there was Giancarlo Stanton, who apparently just hits home runs right now, and one Tommy Edmond. Two players that we talk about October baseball. In October baseball, you have to be a mixture of good, lucky, and hot. And here are two players that have timed getting hot better than, I mean, as well as you can do it. Giancarlo Stanton, so far as 10 hits, 5 home runs, 2 doubles. He's driven in 11 runs for the Yankees. They have 43 total runs in the postseason. He's driven in 11 of them. Tommy Edmond in the NLCS alone batted .407, had over 1,000 on his OPS. 11 hits, also drove in 11 runs and scored 5 times in those 6 games. 11 hits in 6 games from Tommy Edmond. Who had that on their bingo card? So both, neither, pick a player, whichever. You guys see these players staying hot and being an X factor, being a difference maker for their teams?
Tommy Edmond, yes. Stanton, no. You guys remember back in those old school video games, like those old school like football video games? Like I'm thinking about Tecmo Bowl right now, right? Where if you're on defense and you successfully guessed what the offense was running, it was a bum rush, and you know, you knock the guy back 5 yards. Stanton, his home runs are coming when he guesses the right pitch because that bat speed is way too slow to adjust to anything. So he has to guess which pitch is coming correctly to make solid contact. Tommy Edmond doesn't.
I'm going to go the other way. I mean, I think there's a chance that Tommy Edmond is like the David Priest of this year, which are like, yuck, but it's very possible. He would certainly be my pick to stay hot more than Giancarlo because, Bo, I think you're making a good point. But I don't think I can take that risk. I think Giancarlo is the shorter thing, and so I'm going to go with Stanton.
I love it. Y'all did opposite stuff. Thank you so much for doing that. And yeah, it's true. I'm like, well, but Stanton, it's perfect because it is. You know what he's going to do. He knows what he's going to do. It can be, for the offense the Yankees have, the other boppers that are in front of him, it should be enough. Just go up there. Hey, man, just swing for the fences. Because the guys in front of you, if they keep getting on, it's going to pay off. It has. You know, and Tommy Edmond, same thing here. I mean, this is another one of that Dodger lineup that flips it over to the top of the lineup who has been getting, I mean, Ohtani finally getting hits with you know, nobody on. And Mookie Betts is heating up. So perfect time to have somebody, Edmond and the David Freeze, which is easier to say now, having won a championship. It's easier to say that name. It's exactly right. He's doing the exact same thing. It's a player that is flipping that lineup. I think back to, you know, 20 years ago with, like, Bill Miller doing the same thing for the Red Sox. Like, here's somebody down low who's getting on, flipping the lineup, getting back to the top, the big hitters up at the top. So, yeah. All right, one more area to discuss before I'm going to make you guys predict, and we're all three of us predict on here. You know, in baseball, pitching wins championships. So, between these rotations of Flaherty, Yamamoto, Buehler, and then Cole, Rodon, Schmidt, which one do you trust more to win a championship?
You know what? I don't have a coin, but I've got my... I've got my St. Andrews Lynx ball marker, green marker on the green, right? That a buddy of mine brought from Scotland. So I'm going to flip that here. Hang on.
Which is which?
It was Tails, and Tails was Yankees.
Tails is Yankees. There you go.
I'm going to do the same thing. I'm flipping a coin here. All right. Heads, Dodgers, Tails, Yankees. Here we go. Up. Another Yankee. It's Tails.
Hang on, let me find one.
Oh my gosh, this is crazy. I can't believe I just put this into the hands of Clark Schmidt.
Wow, I just got tails as well. All three of us.
Wow. I hope we are wrong. I deeply hope that we are wrong.
Well, anytime the three of us agree on something, usually something opposite happens. This will be interesting to see. Jack Flaherty gets the game one start. He's got to show up. He has not at all. I mean, that is a have to. Yamamoto did, and Buehler even took steps forward. So there's some glimmer of hope there for the Dodgers, who, you know, are just scoring runs better than everyone. So it's not like they need amazing stuff. And the Yankees, it's all three of those guys have the ability to have amazing games and be done by the third inning. So it's so weird that we have this where there are some names on there, but there is not a single name on there that I trust to take the ball, go out there, and pitch seven innings. Not a single name on there.
When's the last time you remember there being a World Series where you looked at every single starting pitcher on both teams and said, yeah, this guy's hittable? It's been a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
It has.
So, all right. Well, there we go. We've talked through, you know, who y'all think is going to stay hot, the pitching staffs. You know, we did some rapid fire that had a little more pinstripe than you thought it would. So, prediction time, guys. What do you? I'll start it off, and just from what I've seen so far, and I don't know, it's a little bit of cheering interest or whatever, and stuff like that. But I'm taking the Dodgers in six.
Okay. I'm taking the Dodgers in seven, and that's only because the Dodgers are going to be the home team in game seven. They'll get the last at bat.
I also had Dodgers in six. I actually don't think this is right, but the other possibility is too gross to contemplate, so I'm going to go Dodgers in six. Trust.
There we go. All right.
It's a clean sweep.
Right. Well, that's Dodgers. Clean sweep, and it's not surprising. I mean, the Yankee offense has been spread out pretty evenly, and if they can keep doing that, they should win games. But that Dodgers offense, especially in the first four innings, has been quite mighty, and it's fun to watch. Those guys have been scoring runs. They are getting leads early in ball games, and they're making it tough for teams to beat them. So that's why I'm Dodgers.
Should I go reverse jinx and pick the Yankees?
No, I think we're good there.
I think
the thought is what the thought counts, right?
See, and because you've already made a pick, I think that would backfire.
Yeah, probably.
So I think we have to ride with this.
Even though I made the pick that I don't think is right, I just picked the thing I wanted.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, I still made the pick though. So I don't think you want to add some bad mojo here. I mean, we already have the Yankees bullpen in our favor. So let's not mess with it.
All right. Well, we'll see. The games start Friday, and be glad to get. I'm just glad to get some baseball on again. It'll be fun to watch. This should be a good series. Everything on paper says it should be a good series. Let's see if these two show up. Be highly disappointed if somebody gets swept here.
I won't.
I think it's gonna suck.
Although we know that. All right, so let's flip over from baseball over to college football, who is once again had a very entertaining weekend of top teams, literally the top team losing, and a few other ranked teams, and so we had some shifting up. So, but again, it's not things that we need to freak out about. No one needs to get upset. You know, yes, number one lost. Well, they dropped to number five, so they're still in the playoffs by a long shot right now. So still a lot of games to play, and what I've done here is I've got four teams, kind of. And I want you guys to kind of talk, and we're going to talk to these guys as a contender or pretender, and not for a championship, not looking for a championship, but as a legit option to make the playoffs. So I'm not, no top five, top six teams here at all. Don't worry. I'm not going to sit here and make you go, is Oregon legit? Like, no, it's, we know they're going to be there and everything. So got teams here that are these teams going to be, are they a contender for a playoff spot, or are they really just a pretender right now? So First one out of the gate, number 13, the Indiana Hoosiers. They sit at 7-0. They are 4-0 in the Big Ten. Their best win so far, they beat Maryland. They are the number 2 scoring offense in college football with 48.7 points and the number 7 scoring defense, allowing only 13.7. Usually numbers that rode really, really well. But Indiana also, the remainder of their schedule, Washington, Michigan State, Michigan, at Ohio State, and Purdue. Are the Hoosiers a contender or a pretender?
They're a pretender. They'll beat Michigan, but that's it.
I think they're a pretender, but the problem is the schedule. Like, one lost Big Ten team's probably getting in.
Yeah. They'll get another loss in there somewhere.
Well, they'll get the Ohio State loss, but I mean,
but that's what I mean. They're probably a one-loss team because they don't have to play anyone good. The only good team they play is Ohio State. So they'll lose that one. But, like, it's a Big Ten team. They will have one loss. Like, they will get in, just like Penn State and Ohio State will have one loss and will get in.
I do love, I don't know if you see this, Amanda, or not, but there's actually a legit scenario out there that could really play out where we would have 5 Big Ten teams with one conference loss.
What's the other one?
It's Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State, Indiana, and why am I totally blanking on the Illinois?
Illinois? No.
Because of the schedule. Silly. It's once more the schedule. But
Billy is. Yeah.
All right. Next team up, sitting at number 14 right now, the Aggies of Texas A&M. They're 6-1. They're 4-0 in the SEC. They had that early loss week one to Notre Dame. Their best win against a number 9 Missouri team. Beat them 41-10. You know, it's a Missouri team ranked higher than all of us thought they deserved to be, but still 41-10.
That was that game. 4
wins, yeah. 4 of their wins, however, they have not played well at all. They've got wins over Florida, Bowling Green, Arkansas, Mississippi State, but they did not play well in those games at all. A&M has LSU this week. After that, it's at South Carolina, which we know by mascots is not an easy game. They get the other Aggies in New Mexico State, and then they're at Auburn, and then they get their fun game against the Longhorns. So, the Aggies. Contender or pretender?
Pretender. I think they got a couple of losses in them there. LSU, Texas. Yeah, I think that'll knock them out.
Yeah, and they're going to lose out to you. They're going to lose to Texas. This is going to add up to too many losses. They could lose to South Carolina, too. So there's the power of cervix. Yeah. Did you guys know that for like a couple $1,000 cervix will come to your birthday party?
I did not know that.
I'm thinking about doing it.
You should do that.
I mean, it's like not that expensive. And he just comes to your house. He will just come to your party. Like, I don't know. I'm thinking about doing it. I think it might be amazing.
We'll need pictures. And video.
Absolutely.
And video.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, the whole point of doing it is so that you can send people pictures and video.
You never know. You'll
get more video than you ever wanted of me and Sir Big Spur.
That's awesome.
100%. Anyway, totally off topic. A&M, total pretender.
No, circle back. That was good. That was good. Yeah, I right now I'm still sitting with that pretender look. It's because, yes, you've got wins, but they have nothing has looked great. Thank you for taking care of Missouri, but we don't think Missouri's that good. This week makes the decision. If you can beat LSU, then the conversation of contender, we can start having that conversation. But, like I said, Samantha, that game in South Carolina is no joke. So, all right, next one. This one kind of cheating a little bit, but you'll understand why. Number 10, Iowa State. Number 11, BYU. I consider this the exact same thing. Like, I don't really know the difference. They're both 7-0. They're both 4-0 in the Big Ten. They both have wins. I'm doing air quotes over ranked teams. Iowa State beat number 21 Iowa 20-19. BYU beat K-State 38-9. Okay, that was good. The remaining schedules, BYU does not play a ranked team the rest of the season, and Iowa State has to play K-State. So the two top Big 12 teams do not play each other. So they probably will play each other in the Big 12 championship, which, as we know, if they get there, one of them gets the bye into what will probably be the 4 seed. So you can pick the other one if you want. However you want to do this, Iowa State, BYU, they look the exact same to me. Are they contenders or are they pretenders?
Well, obviously one of them is going to win the Big 12. So at this point, I'm going to go with BYU as the contender and Iowa State as the pretender. Because the Big 12 can get that one in and that's it.
I don't think we should let any Big 12 teams into the playoff.
I agree.
Just saying, like, the real teams left the Big 12, and I don't understand why it still exists. Because you're not serious people. No, I don't think so. Neither one. It's ridiculous. I won't allow that. Indiana's gonna come. It's
fine. There you go. I like that. Yeah, BYU seems to be the stronger one doing what you did with K-State. They don't have anyone left. These two are probably going to be, there's a real good chance they're undefeated playing each other. And we will have to sit there and be like, number 5, number 6. Like, yeah, technically they are, but yeah. So we'll see. I'm the same. Not playing much competition. The Big 12 is definitely very, very loose this year. It is not great.
There's I don't totally understand why winning your conference gives you a bye. It should go by ranking.
Yep.
That's stupid. We fix this and then we unfix it by doing that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. So last one. Number 9, Clemson Tigers. They are 6-1. They're already 5-0 in the ACC. Fortunately, they don't have to play Miami or SMU in the regular season, but if you keep moving the direction you're going, you're going to see them in an ACC title game. Their best win, now you remember this team who got embarrassed by Georgia right out of the gate, but ever since then has done nothing but win football games. And their best win is against Virginia, 48-31. The remaining schedule's not much there. Louisville seemed very disappointing. Virginia Tech at home, that could be tough, just going there to Blacksburg. Number 9, Pitt, we'll find out if they're legit. Didn't mean to make that rhyme, but it did. And then they finish off the year with South Carolina at home. So are the Tigers, after being embarrassed week 1, are they a real contender for the playoffs, or are they still pretending?
Oh, that's the only one that's really tough in this entire list. Man, I'm going to go pretender because I haven't seen enough that's going to tell me that they could win that conference. I haven't seen enough. And at this point, I mean, I'm thinking maybe SMU might be a little bit better. So I'm going to go pretender.
Yeah, this is tough because, like, I almost think they're going to make it because, like, who's going to stop them? I guess that's how I'm looking at it. But, like, do I think they're good? No. Like, I don't know. I mean, probably I just hate it because, like, Dabo's the worst. And I would love for them to not be involved in this. But, like, it's a little hard to see what the competition is. It's possible they'll just end up with too many losses at the end of this, you know? And, like, I don't know. Like, if that's going to be better, is it going to matter if they're better? It probably depends on how the conference championships shape out. But, like, I think they're a pretender, but I think they'll probably make it. I mean, but, you know. See, they're all pretenders. And part of the problem is that, like, most of, like, the top 10 is also pretenders because it's a weird year where everyone sucks. So maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, is it going to be weird if at the end we'll be like, wow, this is the year we could have done with the 4, but we're going to get...
Yeah, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's bad.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're spot on about because you don't have to play Miami or SMU there. I don't see because I think they will take care of Pitt, so they are going to be undefeated in ACC play and go to the ACC championship game because they don't have to play. And Miami and SMU are going to have to figure it out themselves of what goes on. So because that South Carolina game is not a conference game, so even if you take that loss, it doesn't matter. You get in that conference championship game, you get that opportunity. So we'll see. The other ones, honorable mentions to keep an eye out. And I'll just read these off. You guys give me one contender out of this that you think, watch for them. They could make a deal. Notre Dame at 12, Alabama at 15, Boise State at 17, the aforementioned Illinois at 20, and then the fun ones, Army at 23, Navy at 24. What's one contender there?
You are the first person to ever describe Army or Navy as porn.
Oh God! Obviously Alabama, but you know this is the year I wish Alabama was on the Sanbeeson State schedule. It's the year like average teams beat them. Then I would absolutely not get some weirdly named bowl if they beat Alabama. But that, you know, that's a different subject. Alabama is really the only one on that list that I see.
Yeah, Alabama's going for sure. Probably Notre Dame is too, honestly.
Talk about gross.
Well, see, here's the thing about Alabama with that second loss. Because of these huge conferences, because of all these teams not having to play each other, only three teams from your conference get in there. Alabama's going to be too far back to get up into that top three of the SEC. I think they're all but done going to the playoffs because of how we have the format set up. Should they end up in, and that's what's going to be very intriguing to watch this, is we're going to have like a number nine ranked Alabama team. Like, wait, why are they not in? Well, because there's three SEC teams in front of them. So you're not in the round of 12. And that's how that's going to play. I hate it. I know.
No, I think the flaw in this is that you want it to make sense. And I don't know that it's going to.
Well, and that's why my contender there is going to be Boise State. Ooh. Boise State as the 12. You want to be the number 5 team playing them? I don't.
I don't know. I do. I would love to play Boise State. But yeah, give me that. Give me that with my fraud tendency.
Hey, and where you're at 9, that's a real chance.
Yeah, give me Boise State. I'm 100%. Like, yeah, let all the frauds in.
The good thing about Boise State is setting up the defensive meetings are pretty easy. The running back. But what about the rest of the guys? Don't worry about them. The running back. That's what you have to stop. That's it.
Yeah, I can't take this seriously. They have one good player and no competition. I can't do it. No.
Yeah, that was a tough one. I wanted to put them on my contender pretender list, but then when I looked at their schedule, I'm like, oh, no, y'all are going to win the rest of your games. Never mind. So. Yeah, we'll see. Another good week ahead. A lot of good games coming up. That LSU A&M one will be a real good one to see. Who wants to be a true contender for a playoff spot?
Mm-hmm. All right. Samantha, anything else on this one?
No. I just know. I was like, oh, we fixed the system, and they're still going to find a way to mess it up. I can tell already. They're going to screw it up.
All right. Well, to kick off my part of these shenanigans, you know, we've got a lot in the press right now about Mr. Aaron Rodgers and the good and the bad and the ugly. So they got me thinking, we have quite a few quarterbacks in this league that are over the age of 35. In fact, there's 8 of them that are 35 or older. Aaron Rodgers being the head geriatric of the group in terms of years. Let's rank them. Some of these are starters. Some of these are backups. Let's rank these guys. You can let me know, you know, what changes you would make to this list. Would you prefer that I start at the top and go to 8 or start at 8 and go to 1? Is there a preference?
I think you should start at 8 and go to 1.
Okay. Number 8, the backup to Lamar Jackson is Josh Johnson of the Ravens, number 8. And, you know, feel free to.
I forgot about him. So far, I support this choice.
There's actually a couple of you I forgot about.
Does he know the playbook anymore? You know, from a couple of years ago in the NFC Championship game, was like, I know 3 plays. Great, we're going to lose to the Eagles.
Oh, boy. All right. Number 7, Andy Dalton, who's now with the Panthers. And again, feel free to add comments along the way as we go.
Yeah, he got benched today. They're going back to Bryce.
Okay. Number 6, here's one. Here's a fun one. Case Keenum, the backup in Houston. Did not know he was still in the league. Be perfectly honest with you.
I didn't know he was back in Houston. Seems like he had like 3 or 4 stops there.
Yes. I mean, look, I love him. He's like the best human. I want him to be good, but he's never been good. And now he's old and still not good. Mm-hmm. So,
Yeah. Number 5, One, Aaron Rodgers of the New York Jets. He's number five. That's right. I got four in front of him. Number four, Russell Wilson. Now the starter of the Steelers, but he was, you know, the injured backup. Number three.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
They don't know.
They don't know. They don't know. It's a dumb move. It's a dumb move. It's the one time where the ESPN panel on Get Up got it right. Number three. Now, I'm probably going to get some flack on this one because of not having him number one, but here we go. Number three, Kirk Cousins.
Boo.
Starter, Atlanta Falcons.
How dare you, sir?
Number two, Joe Flacco, Colts. And number one on this list, one Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford, current starter for the LA Rams. That's my list of eight. Any edits?
Yeah, he's the current starter of the Rams. Is he soon gonna be the starter for the Vikings?
I mean, sure. All right, so feel free. Any edits, any comments on my eight geriatric quarterbacks?
I can't believe you're disrespectful of Kirk Cousins. Joe Flacco. Come on.
Hey.
Hey, Joe's getting it done.
He can still sling it, man.
Freaking hilarious.
He can still sling that football.
The worst part is he's making the young Anthony Richardson looking like when Richardson's not getting it done. Like, you realize Joe over here threw touchdown passes. Yeah, but I can run fast. Yeah, Joe can throw touchdown passes. You need to do that. Whatever.
Is this what he does now? He just goes around and like kills off like younger quarterback. I mean, like, look what happened to Deshaun Watson.
He's like,
and then he gets run out of town.
He's like, the NFL Grim Reaper.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a Grim Reaper.
We're going to find this out later. He's just been given, hey, yeah, give him advice. Sure, I'll teach him some things. It's just teaching him horrible things.
The NFL's quarterback Grim Reaper won Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco.
That makes sense.
I mean, he really doesn't seem sinister, but maybe that's part of the game, right? That's how they suck you in. He doesn't look threatening, you know? He looks like someone's nice dad. That's probably how they get you. That's probably what the actual Grim Reaper looks like, too. Like, when he shows up for you, it's not going to be some creepy skeleton man with a scythe and a black hood. It's going to be Joe freaking Flacco. And you're going to be like, hey, man, you want to go golfing? Do you want to come over and grill some stuff? And he's going to be like, you. It's your day to die, and you will never see it coming. Mm-hmm. Something to think about. I hope you're all afraid of Joe Flacco now. Halloween is coming up. Beware.
All right, well, moving on. We'll get back to the NFL in a second for my last topic, but I had to talk about this because we have, on not just on the air but off the air, we have had comments over the last, well, as long as we've known each other, about the dump in the trop, right? I've personally been, Samantha, I think you've personally been, Irby hasn't been. It's awful. Somehow, it's gotten worse because I didn't know this, actually, when I was in the stands, that I had not an actual roof over me, that I had a roof made out of fabric over me in Tampa. Maybe had I known that, I would have probably not gone. And then you had Hurricane Milton come through and just absolutely rip the fabric off the top of the stadium. And it now, and this is what I think, this is what's really killing me here, Samantha. I mean, we are months away from opening day in Tampa, and they're telling us that they can't put the fabric back on in that amount of time. They're not having to rebuild a roof. They used to put the tarp back over it. That's all you got to do. And they can't do that, probably because they don't have the money. This is absurd. Even for the trop, this is absurd. Help me understand this.
Do you think they can't find a big enough piece of fabric?
Maybe.
I can't. Like, I'm sorry. Like, we live in the year 2024. Cars drive themselves. And you're telling me you thought it was okay to make a roof out of fabric. Like, I don't care, man. Like, go back to 1993 or whenever that thing was completed. You made a roof out of fabric. Are you kidding me? Like, yeah. You took a building and made the roof out of fabric. What did you think was going to happen? Like, this is it. You should have to play it in the opener. You should have to. You should have to for stupidness. For stupidity, you should have to play it that way. I'm sorry you can't find a big enough tarp. You should have thought of that before you made the roof of your building out of fabric.
In a hurricane zone. So I don't, let's just add that little nugget in. In a hurricane zone, they have a roof out of fabric. And I agree with you. Make them play. You don't need the roof. Clearly, you don't need the roof. What's it protecting you from? Honestly.
Not hurricanes, clearly.
Irby, where are you at on this one? I mean, come on.
I so many issues with this. Of yes, I mean, at the end of the day, you put a tarp over a roof to hope that in hurricane country, this Bo, you've been there for like has it survived other heavy hitters before?
Yeah, clearly it has. Like, and this okay, one,
so
I mean,
this is a wear and tear issue.
It has to be.
So no one was, so nobody was, you know, annually or biannually going and checking the. Yep, the tarp is still, you know, the integrity is still there. It's not going to, nope, just run with it, whatever. Honestly, yes, it would make way too much sense of, okay, play this game in the open like this. I mean, no one's going to laugh at you because we're already laughing, or no one's going to laugh at you more. Like, we're already laughing at you or everything, but I still loved what was thrown out there of they should play the opener at the Oakland Coliseum. That would be the best.
Can we please just get Dollar General to sponsor the naming rights of Tampa Bay Stadium? All not just now, but the future one too. Because that's what this feels like. You put a tarp as your roof on your stadium.
Well, part of the problem too is the whole thing is like the dollar store version of a stadium.
Yeah,
like everything about it feels like that. Like Irby, I know you haven't been there, but like just trust me. Like everything there. Feels like well, you know, it's the Timu Tampa Bay Rays. Like I'm telling you, seats by Timu, like roof by Timu, apparently. Like everything there was like the cut rate version. It looks like one of those things that you get, you know, when you get like the junky, like some disposable furniture from IKEA and there's no instructions, it's just weird pictures and there's like 9,000 tiny little parts, and it's always gonna be missing one part. Like, I think that's how they put the stadium together. They just ordered it from IKEA. And, like, you know, I didn't know what to do at the end because they were missing a piece, so somebody just threw a big towel on top.
That's perfect. It's the Timu version of Legos. They got Timu Legos.
Timu Legos.
Yeah.
Yeah, the box, it's missing three pieces.
The roof.
They don't fit together right, and there's no top. Yeah.
It's missing the roof.
Instructions are in check.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Like, I don't know. Maybe this is like the actual proper send off of that shithole. Right? Because obviously.
It kind of makes sense.
Yeah, they're getting a new yard eventually. Right? You know, hopefully that one has an actual roof.
Roof. Well, or, you know, made of something other than paper.
I just want to be in that. In that room, right, with the architects, you're like, so, all right, what's the deal with the roof? Oh, it's a tarp.
Yeah. Why is it a tarp?
Why is it a tarp?
The stadium ran out of money.
Well, you can't afford an actual concrete. So you're putting a tarp over our stadium. Well, what if a hurricane hits? That'd be fine for the first 25 years.
Yeah.
Okay, what happens?
No, it has that. It has that feel of, like, you know when you're, like, a little kid and you don't really understand things like dimensionality and you go into the woods and you're like, I'm going to build myself a fort out here. So, you know, you take, like, four boards and you line them up and you're like, I have walls. And then you're like, what do I do about the top? And how do I create an entrance? and like you realize very quickly that like you can't really just like build a shelter. So the easiest solution is just to take like, I don't know, some beach towels or I don't know, a picnic blanket or whatever, and you just like throw it over the top and you're like, look, now I have a roof. That's what I feel like they did. They're like 8-year-old me who does not understand three-dimensional objects yet fully, being like, you know what, here's how we're going to do this. Fort in the Woods, Timu Tampa Bay Rays Stadium. I don't say this very often about architectural projects, but 8-year-old me probably could have built that.
I mean, I have no doubt, but you know.
Listen, I'm not good. I'm really bad at spatial things, you guys. Like, you know that thing that they put on standardized tests sometimes where, like, it's, like, shows you, like, an unfolded box, and then it's like, okay, if you folded this up, which side would be the gray side? And I'm like, I quit. I'm going to, as a senior in high school, I'm going to a third grade level on those things. Like, really bad at that kind of stuff. And I feel like I could have done a better job because even I know you should not make your roof out of fabric.
I don't get it, but okay. All right. Well,
neither do they.
Yeah, clearly. Okay. Well, one more piece before we go. It is time to assign a president, guys. I haven't done this in a while. So, for those that are new to the program, we assign a former president of the United States to a sports organization because they fit the mold. And really, the only stipulation is nothing recent. I think what did we say, Samantha, before Nixon?
I think we said Nixon was allowed. It was maybe nothing after
Nixon. Nothing after Nixon.
Because we don't want to get angry letters.
Yeah.
So
yeah, exactly.
Nixon is the last permissible choice.
Yeah. So
because no one likes Nixon. So like no one likes Nixon. So he's the safest, the last safe.
Right. Well, don't worry. I did not choose Nixon for this particular team. We're going to assign a president to the Dallas Cowboys. Now, this one was actually a little bit of a challenge because I had to find the right combination of arrogance and accomplishing nothing. I had to find that. And there's been arrogant presidents that have accomplished at least a little bit. And then there's been accomplished presidents that were not arrogant. So it was really tough finding that mixture, but I found him. And this is in the early 1800s. One John Quincy Adams. Quite possibly the most arrogant president this country's ever had. Couldn't work with Congress because Congress was beneath him and got nothing done. Sounds a lot like Jerry Jones. That's the president I'm assigning to the Dallas Cowboys. What are your thoughts?
I think I just didn't understand that John Quincy Adams was that bad.
Very arrogant. Very, very arrogant president who did nothing. Accomplished nothing because Congress wouldn't work with him.
Well, whose fault was that? Was it his fault or was it Congress's fault?
Mostly him. That was back when Congress was still kind of invisible.
Yeah, because it was doing its job.
Yeah.
Like now?
Yeah.
But, well, I don't know. I mean, did he accomplish things before he was president or early in his term and then fall off the wagon? Because that's kind of like Jerry, right? Like, there was like a point where Jerry was doing very well and then things went horribly, horribly wrong.
He actually was a fairly effective diplomat when his father, John Adams, was president. He was actually a fairly accomplished person, you know, I think he started.
Okay, so that's tracks. He was doing well at first, and then
yeah, he was working various like foreign secretary jobs. He was with ambassadors, learning the trade as a kid while his dad was president. That type of stuff, and then you know, brought it back, and then essentially stole the election from Andrew Jackson.
I don't think anyone would miss him either, though.
No.
He was also very bad, like way worse than John Quincy Adams. Has Jerry Jones stolen anything from anyone who you don't feel bad for? Probably.
Yeah.
Like, did he steal a Super Bowl from somebody where you're like, well, I don't like you either, so who cares? Did that ever happen? Probably.
At least he beat his team beat the Bills twice and the Steelers once.
Okay, we'll use the Steelers here because no one loves them, right?
So, yeah.
Nobody's in the show or something like that. Yeah. Okay, so the Steelers. The Bills, that's too sad, man. That's just like, that's like kicking a puppy. We don't want to do that.
All right. Irby, how about you? Any thoughts here?
Yeah, Jerry Jones kicking a puppy. Jeez, guys. Wow, look at that. This is how we need to wrap it up there. No.
Do you think he kicks that little kid who cleans his glasses for him?
Yes.
I do.
Yeah, yes, this is great because especially with the John Adams reference, Jerry, it's the exact same thing when taking over as the GM. It's like, well, I can do this even better and never actually pull it off or never do anything. So, yeah, I like that. And not working with Congress because it's beneath them. That sounds like Jerry having to work with, a non-star player. It's like, oh, we don't need any. We just need names. We just need names. We'll pay these names, and we can't afford. I don't care about these backups. I don't care about these role players. They don't do us any good.
Deep dive for like any early American history buffs that want to weigh in on this. Who is Mike McCarthy historically? Here, I'm looking for a puppet who probably has compromising photos. So, if anybody who's really an expert on like really, really deep, minutiae of early American government in the John Quincy Adams presidency era. Tweet at us. Let us know.
That's an interesting question.
I know there's somebody out there who knows this.
Yeah.
So
yeah, tweet at us.
Hit us up. Let us know.
Yeah, tweet at us. Let us know. All right. Anything else on this before we call it a week here on Lollygagging Sports?
Who are the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders in this scenario?
In this scenario, I don't know. Are they the witches in Salem?
Those were like 150 years.
I know.
Before. I'm going to need something that is contemporaneous with John Quincy Adams.
That timeline. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, do you think it's just like whoever had to like empty the outhouse? It just feels like a really bad job. I didn't watch the little documentary, but I it didn't sound good.
Yeah, no. Yeah. If you know, tweet that at us too. I'm curious what people are going to tell us on this one, because I got nothing. Like I didn't.
Yeah, let us know. We need somebody who has a lot of highly specific knowledge to like this sort of weird like post founding fathers, but pre.
It's like the
it's the dead zone of American history.
It's like the generation
paying any attention because we're not having a war. Basically,
it's the generation after the founding fathers. It's their sons.
Yeah.
So, that's a thought that's going to fester. So, yeah, tweet us. Let us know. Irby, anything you want to add here?
I'm wanting to do the deep dive myself as well. And
yeah.
Start figuring this out. Because this will be, the Mike McCarthy is what you got me on. I'm like, who is Mike McCarthy for all this stuff? Oh, man. That was good. But, yes, no, good choice. The arrogant without really accomplishing anything, because anytime you bring up his name, everyone's like, oh, yeah, his dad was a really good president.
Yeah.
Too bad that Jerry's dad wasn't a successful owner before him.
That would have been the ultimate fit, but it still fits. Right, so full of yourself that you get nothing done because you're that full of yourself. That just screams Jerry Jones. So, anyway. All right. wherever you're listening to Lollygagging Sports, give us a like, subscribe to the show. Help us bring some more lollygaggers into these fun weekly chats we have. But for this week, that's it. That's going to do it for us. We're out of here. Until next week, watch some sports. There's a lot going on in sports right now. So just pick one, sit down on the couch with a bowl of ice cream, and just watch some sports.
Afraid of no good.